Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Skydive Liberation, brought to you by the Splash Bros. I'm Kyler.
I'm Jacob Patty.
We are here with our audio engineer, Drew Beach, and our video engineer, Farrell. Say hi, guys. Yo. There we go. So today we've got another very interesting episode for you guys. We're going to try to bring back a little bit of the whole educational type thing for you beginners out there and some of you intermediate skydivers as well. Jacob, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about highs and lows and plateaus.
I like that. Highs and lows and plateaus.
So, in skydiving, you know, I think skydiving is really hard because it's, at first, it's just this fucking surreal experience.
It is, yeah.
Where nothing, it's just so different than at getting better at any other sport. Like, getting better at basketball, you just go to your backyard and you get the basketball out and you just practice for hours. Skydiving, it's like you do one experience and you learn so much from that one experience and you just have a couple of them. Like, I've only jumped 96 times.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you think about, like, you someone bouncing a basketball 96 times. You're going to send them out on the court. No, it's nothing.
Well, and that's kind of the same for skydiving, too. You know, it's like in the same sense as we're still just absolute beginners. Just baby birds, literally.
Yeah, but you progress a lot faster than you do.
You do. You know, you go from literally nothing, so you've never jumped before, to, you know, now you're sit flying and stand flying in less than 100 jumps.
And that's where you start getting into, like, really weird mindsets, because you're already skydiving. You're jumping out of a plane, which is as surreal as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also trying to, like, compare and figure out where you are from where you've gone and what you've been doing to where you're going, and you're trying to, like, get a station or an idea of where you're even at in the sport, and that's so damn hard.
I agree with that. I feel like it's very difficult to kind of gauge exactly where you're at, you know, because you can start progressing in a lot of manners and you can progress really, really quickly, but at the same time, you know, it's still,
and it's not even like a static climb. You'll get really good and then you'll have like a week where you're trash.
Yeah.
And it's so that brings us to plateaus, you know. When you're doing your first AFF to coach and getting your A license, you're kind of stuck at this sort of, when you do your AFF, you're kind of stuck at this, oh, I'm just flailing around in the sky trying to even figure out what I'm doing. And then you get past that plateau, and you're sort of like, okay, I kind of get what I'm doing, now I'm trying to get better at it.
Right, right. It's like you got your basics down at that point, and you're, I would say the major plateau, like the first major one, really starts somewhere after you get your A license. You know, when you're going through your AFF and then you're going through coach, there's so much that you're doing every jump that you're trying to get better at and really trying to hone in those basic skills, that there's really not time to plateau because you're doing so much different stuff.
Yeah.
And then, but then once you have your freedom, you almost kind of don't know what to do.
Yeah, so you kind of don't really know what to do, and then when you are jumping with other people when you're in that first level, like, you can't make docks, so you get really discouraged.
A little bit, yeah.
Right after getting your A, because you're like, okay, I finally got my A, I can finally do jumps with people, but no jumps.
Yeah, but, like, your fall rate, you know, you haven't figured it out yet. I still haven't figured it out, and I'm already B licensed and have over 50 jumps, and still, it's like, I'm still figuring out fall rate.
Yeah, I mean, and it takes, every time you jump with someone new, it's like, new stuff. It's like you're jumping again for the first time. But, you know, you just get, you get these mindsets where you're like, okay, I'm better than I was. Like, you cast judgment a lot on where you are and where you're skydiving and what your limits are. And it's all subjective. Like, you can't really see yourself from the outside. And you can, like, try to, and you can try to imagine yourself, but you don't really know where you're at. And I feel like other people can kind of get a grasp of where you're at, but they don't really know where your limits are.
Yeah.
And it's,
I'd say around that first plateau is probably somewhere around, like, the 27 to 30 jump mark. If I had to pinpoint, like a first kind of plateau, I'd say that's kind of where the first one is.
Yeah, and so you're only at how many jumps?
54.
54. Have you noticed another leveling off?
Because
I remember when I hit my license, we talked about this, when I was around 30, 35 jumps, I was like, I'm feeling kind of discouraged.
You did, yeah.
I feel like, oh man, I feel like I'm wasting time on these types of jumps that aren't going well. I feel like I'm not getting better. Because you're doing AFF like that, you're working so fucking hard, and you're constantly trying to improve, that once you get it, you're sort of, like, still in that mentality. And I'm still in that mentality, trying to get better every time, but...
I'd say that first one's around that 30 jump mark, give or take, you know, 5. And then I'd say the second one probably is somewhere around 50, so... And, like, I think your rise has kind of been similar to mine, so it's like, you got your A license, and after that, you started doing some formation jumps with people, now that you can... And you're doing a bunch of zoo dives, as you've talked about before.
Bunch so the jumps, of zoo dives. All the jumps are generally zoo dives.
Yeah, and it's like, it's kind of just this wild jump where you have a plan, but the plan never seems to really come to fruition.
No.
And you're just kind of sending it, which is still a lot of fun. And you're still enjoying it, and you're still learning.
Because you're still so new that, like, when you're just jumping... And you're just having fun. You're like, oh, let's just jump.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to get to the point where I'm like, okay, now that I've done 96 jumps, I don't want to just jump.
Yeah.
I want to focus on things, get better at things. But that's where it gets hard that I'm like one of the highest numbers of our little sub-100 group. Because other people are still just in that jump. Let's just fucking throw one. Yeah. But you get in this mindset where you just want to keep jumping, and there's nothing wrong with that.
You do.
It's a part of that learning process.
It is, and you know, there's that excitement that comes with having that A license and finally being able to jump with everybody. So you're just wanting to send it. You're just wanting to get up in the air.
Who gives a fuck what it looks like?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And I'm, like, for me, I'm kind of at that 50-50, so I still love the zoo dives. I just like jumping, you know. But I'm also kind of getting to that point, too, where it's like, okay, I want to start... getting better at the same time with my...
So that we can do stupid shit.
Yeah.
And it will still look better and feel better. Yeah.
And I have been working on that. You know what I mean? And you'd like doing our hybrids, especially with me having the booties as well. One, I'm learning how to control flight better with the booties. And it's gotten significantly better.
Yeah. And it's just going out and repeating those jumps. So, like, with that first plateau, you get past it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of get cocky. So, like, I feel like for me, every time I reach a plateau, I get stuck, and I feel in my head, and I feel like I'm not that good, not getting better. And then, you know, it's not an incremental, like, okay, every day you get slowly a little better. You know, you're just beating at it for a while, and then one day you just fucking pop through it, and you're just better. Yeah. And you're like, okay, all right, now this is just working, and stuff that wasn't working, things you weren't able to even imagine you could get, you're just doing it without even thinking.
So I got a question, and I think this will be good for all the listeners, is what do you do? What do you do personally when you reach one of them plateaus?
So I'm currently in one right now where I feel just kind of like a little disheartened and like jumping feels slow and I'm not like making as much progress as I want. But it's all like subjective thoughts on some... I can't really see the bigger picture right now. But what I do is I admit to myself, yeah, I can't see the whole picture. This is my thoughts and ideas on this are completely subjective. I could tell myself right now I'm an amazing skydiver and that would impact my skydiving. I could tell myself I'm a terrible skydiver. That would impact my skydiving. So I try to do neither. I just try to just find a nice middle road where I feel confident in my abilities and what I can do. But admit to myself and constantly know that I know nothing. I'm only at 96 jumps.
Yeah.
I take all the advice I can from other people. I listen. You want to keep learning. But at the same time, you want to keep doing the things you're doing. Don't be too hard on yourself, but don't be too easy on yourself. You don't want to just give up into that plateau. You want to keep going.
You want to push your boundaries.
You do, because that's where you start getting into that flow state. That once you get that final push and you break out, it almost feels like you broke through a mental wall where things are just working. Because your subconscious has been working on it in the background. You know.
See, so to kind of add on to that, I definitely agree. You definitely just have to push through it, and you have to remind yourself, like, listen, I'm still so new to the sport. We're just baby birds here. You know, there's so much of a learning curve, and you have so much to learn so quickly. And it's not like other sports where you can just do it for hours and hours at a time. Each skydive, when you're in free fall, you've only got roughly 50-60 seconds to actually practice what you're doing. So you can be, you know, almost to 100 jumps, and you've still only got, you know, what, 70 total minutes of free fall?
Yeah, like 80, you know.
Yeah, like there's in reality, there's very little time to actually work on the skills during a skydive.
Now, because you're not doing the same exact jump every jump either, and that's a part of it. So you get better at different capacities. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm fairly okay under canopy. Like, I'm getting better, but at the time, my canopy skills were better than my free flying skills, or like my belly flying skills, and you notice all these different levels moving up at the same time. And it's that mixed picture, which is kind of deceiving, where you get better at one part, and then you start sucking at another part, and then you're just always working on these different capacities to where you can jump. And
what I would recommend, so say you're a skydiver, and you're going through your first or your second plateau. What I would personally recommend, this is just my opinion, but what I would do is, one, do something different. So, you know, maybe take a step back and do a solo. Do two solos, whatever. Take a step back. Do a solo
high pull.
Yeah, whatever you want to do, just do something alone for a second. Take a step back and kind of redefine yourself, redefine your jumps, and just clear your mind. Start fresh is what I would do. And that's what I did. So when I hit that first plateau, I was like, you know what? I've been doing all these jumps. I've been doing coach jumps and practicing this and that and all new stuff. I just want to do a jump, just me. Let me just do my own thing, and that cleared my head. It really did, and it's like, okay, now I'm ready to do some more.
Because skydiving is this like spiritual experience. Absolutely. Every time you do it, it's like flossing your brain.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's just like you dunk your brain in the cold water and clean it out and throw it back in, and afterwards you're just kind of a different person.
Yeah.
So you know, skydiving has for me really shown me like where I put my energy. And where I get my energy back is really fucking important. Like, how I spend it and how I share it with people and who I share it with. Because when you do a skydive, that energy just changes your skydive. And it makes things either go perfectly or bad. Or, like, when you're doing a skydive with, like, the people you've been jumping with and you're so comfortable and confident. And there's just this real good connection between everyone. And you're all in that flow state. Things are just going to go really well.
Yeah, they just it's like second nature at that point, really.
And you feel really good from it.
Yeah.
You feel energized, you feel powerful. But then if you go do a jump, you know, with like a lot more people and you're not really confident in it.
You'd be a little hesitant here and there, and you know, you're thinking, you're a little more in your head is what I would say.
Yeah, and then when you do that jump, you're sort of like, "Eh, that was all right." You don't feel as energized as from
a good one. Another thing I would really recommend is, you know, especially if you hit a plateau and it's one of those psychological ones where you're like, I'm trying to get better. I need to practice this and do this. Hit the tunnel. And I know Jacob would agree with me. Hit the tunnel.
And even, you know, even when you're doing tunnel stuff, there's plateaus with tunnel stuff too, which is hard. But, you know, always going out and doing something new. So if you haven't done the tunnel, go hit the tunnel.
Just switch it up is what I would say. You know, if you get in a plateau, switch it up. Change whatever you're doing. And this, like, okay, so there's a quote in House of Cards. If you don't like the way the table's set, flip the table over.
Yeah.
So if you're in a plateau, you know, essentially flip that table over. Just try something different and then go back to where you were.
Yeah, because like for me, now I'm kind of in a wind tunnel plateau where I can do a stagger in a wind tunnel, but then you throw me out in the sky. I can't do any relative work with people because I don't have other people who are at my level in like skydiving and free flying, but I also don't have people who are on my weight size who I can do the same sort of free flying techniques with. Mm-hmm. And I'm also not even that good on my belly yet, so I'm trying to get good on my belly. And you the way you approach skydiving, everyone's gonna tell you exactly what you should do. They're like, you shouldn't fuck around with your free flying, or you shouldn't do this, or just focus on this. And like, yeah, that's great wisdom, but at the end of the day, you just gotta fuck around and figure out that kind of stuff for yourself.
There's the whole fuck around and find out graph. And the more you fuck around, the more, well, you're going to find out. Which can be really bad. And the less you fuck around, the less you're going to find out. So there's that median where you got to fuck out around a little bit.
You do. And
like, but you'll find out a good bit, too.
For me, when people tell me, like, you shouldn't be doing this or this or that, that makes me, like, kind of open my eye to it. Like, where people tell me, like, oh, you shouldn't start free flying until you have, like, 500, 600 jumps. And it's like, okay, I get that. That's an approach. But I think I'm going to try that approach. And if I, you know, it's not good for me, that's something I chose and that's a mistake I made. But
well, and you can, the cool thing about it is you can always go back to it, too. So if you want to try something, you're like, you know, it just didn't really work out this time. then, you know, I'll try it a little bit later. Unless you just don't succeed at skydiving to begin with, and then maybe it's not...
Skydiving's not for you,
man. Yeah, maybe it's not for you to begin with, but...
Yeah, and there's so many ways to go about it, and, you know, there's times where you're going to feel scared again. There's times where your fear is going to go up, because you're doing more risky things.
Or if you haven't jumped in a while.
Yeah, even just not jumping for a while, you get that sort of fear.
Dude, I get antsy after a week. If I haven't jumped in a week, and it's been, we're going on two right now for me.
Well, you know, when we're talking about plateaus, everyone's progressing at a different rate. So, you know, there was one guy, I can't remember, he came through, I'm not going to mention his name or anything, but he was at like 74 jumps, and he didn't know what an RSL is. Ooh. Yeah, so he didn't know what a reserve static line is. And that's really important, to know.
Yeah.
And if you're at 74 jumps and you don't know how that works and when to use it and when to disconnect it,
that's big.
That's a big deal. So that guy might not have hit plateaus, and like, because a lot of that is just mental obstacles and like mental boundaries that you've set up for your head, whether you were conscious of it or you're not conscious of it, you're just doing it. People like that, you know, you're probably not even going to hit a plateau because it doesn't really matter that much to you.
I would argue if you don't know all the terminology, at least most of it, especially important things like RSL going, you know, forward, I would say maybe you should take a step back and be a little bit more careful about what you're doing.
Because you're probably not even really at, after that 25 jump plateau, you know, you're not really knowing what you're doing.
RSL is something they teach you in ground school.
Yeah.
You should at least
know. And if you forget it a couple times, like in your first jumps, that's fine.
Yeah,
but if you're
at
74 jumps and you can't tell me what RSL stands for.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I mean. That's really sketchy. And you do get a lot of that. And that's why we have safety days. We just did a safety day recently.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
That was
really good.
Yeah, you weren't there. But where we...
I heard about it and I seen the incredible video.
Yeah. Where we basically, you know, went over all the same stuff you do in a first jump course. Just a bit more in detail with everyone from the DZ. And that's a day where we just didn't jump because of the weather and the winds were crazy. And we just... had a good day of talking and figuring out that kind of stuff. Because, again, it goes back to the certain thing. You only have to ask a dumb question once. And with skydiving, you should only have to ask a dumb question once. There are multiple different dumb questions you will have to ask, but you should only have to ask them once. And a lot of the times, everyone else in the room is also having that dumb question they're just too scared to ask.
At least for the beginners and whatnot, you know, and this should kind of go with everything. But if you ever have a question, it's better to ask it and know going ahead of time rather than just be scared to ask.
And, yeah, look dumb. I say dumb things. People will call you out on that shit, and you're never gonna forget it. And then you are gonna be the person calling them out.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Never be afraid to ask questions. That's another thing that'll get you through your plateaus and feeling like you're stuck.
One of the only ways to find out, besides just doing stuff and making mistakes, is to ask.
Yeah.
And it could prevent you from making a mistake.
And then you're going to have communication troubles. Like, when I was at jump, like, 20, I did a lot. I gave myself a line twist on a really hard toggle turn on that Nitron 1. And after the skydive, I was like, man, I was in top line twists. After my canopy opened, they're like, oh, body positioning. I'm like, no, I was open. They're like, no, body positioning, because they just weren't getting the fact. And that at the time, it's like, I didn't know that doing a hard toggle turn would send me into a line twist.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to really work them through, because when you work with skydiving, you just have all these like ideas and definitions and things that your brain will just go straight to. And it's a really good way to take a second and look how your brain works. Look at how people around you's brain works. And you really have to learn how to communicate and connect with people and also connect with yourself. And, you know, you can do that with judgment. You can do that with no judgment. But it's good to find a good balance where you can be judgmental of yourself, but you don't have to hold on to that judgment. You know, it's just a subjective thought. It's just a thought that came by.
So speaking about, like, highs and lows, you know, and the plateaus themselves, we've talked a little bit about some plateaus that you're going to see, especially in the early part of skydiving, and potentially some low you know, some low-minded thoughts you might have, and even some high-minded thoughts, like you said. You know, sometimes you get a little over.
Yeah, around jump 70, I was feeling like hot shit because I was able to hit my, like, I put out a cone, I was hitting the cone, and then I got hurt on a landing. That didn't make me feel like hot shit. Mm-hmm. I could go and hit that cone right now if I want to, but I'm not really wanting to. Mm-hmm. And that's where you have to be careful with highs.
Yeah, you definitely, you know, skydiving is a sport that will humble you very quickly if you start to...
Need it.
Well, yeah, and if you start to get to that point where you're like, oh man, I got this, I can do everything in the sport, it'll humble you really quickly to make you realize, yeah, maybe I shouldn't think so much that way. But, so, what are some other plateaus, you know, jump number wise, you think are, you know, out there, like 1,000 jumps, 500?
I think I'm coming up to one of the main. So I think you probably have one around 25, 50, 100, probably at 500, and then probably around 1,000, and then every kind of 1,000 after that. And then, you know, as you, it's going to get slower and longer, those plateaus.
Mm-hmm.
The more you do it and the better you get, it's just going to be a lot longer. You're stuck in a spot where you don't feel like you're progressing as much.
So why don't we ask Farrell real quick?
Yeah.
Farrell, what were your kind of the plateaus that you seen as you were going through the sport? So, you know, Jacob and I talked about, it's like, yeah, probably somewhere around 25, 30 jumps and then 50 and even,
you know, Jacob said like 90, 100.
Yeah. What personally did you experience when you were jumping?
Well, when I was around jump 60, that was when I finally got over the door monster. So that was really when I was like, you know, it really changed for me, and I was able to start excelling. And then after my 100th jump, I felt like I started to plateau a little bit. And then by maybe another 50 jumps after that, then I started progressing and started getting over that plateau. And it'll just ebb and flow. It's a roller coaster of ups and downs, man. That's the name of the game of skydiving, ups and downs. So you're just always going to have these periods in your skydiving where you plateau, but you stick with it and you'll get over it and you'll find something else to work on. You'll plateau there, but you keep with it, you'll get over it for sure.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, and there's so many different ways of approaching it. You know, some people probably just aren't going to have plateaus because they don't take skydiving that way. Like, they just go out and do it for fun, and that's literally all it is. But then you have other people who are, like, kind of perfectionists and people who are passionate and want to, like, die for this craft. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to get better, so everything you do is to try to get better, and there's just a lot of different mindsets you can take it. So plateaus are probably going to be a lot different for everyone. But one of the main things, if you want to take away anything out of this episode, is, you know, there are high and lows. One day you're going to feel like you're in the bottom left corner. The other day, you know, the next day you might be in the top right.
Yeah.
You know, you're just going to be moving around. There's nothing stable, you know? The only thing that's stable and consistent you can have is just peace.
Skydiving is a very fluid sport, and I think Jacob would agree with me on that. And it goes with emotionally, physically, mentally. It's a very fluid sport in all of those manners where you will fluctuate. You will essentially be like water.
So. And it's kind of like that, you know, that analogy where all the blind men are coming up and touching the elephant. We're all blind men touching elephants and touching different parts of it, and that's what skydiving is. So maybe one of us is touching on like the leg of the elephant, one of us is touching the trunk, like trying to understand what this sport is and what it is to us.
Okay,
it's just like different to everyone, and how people react
is,
it's, you know, you go into it, you get people who are cautious, they're like not even wanting to do a four-way.
Well,
because that's what that sport is to them. And then you get other people who are like, let's launch a fucking 26-way, you know?
Yeah. There's definitely some people who are definitely more out there to the point of, like, just send it, you know, no matter what it is. And then you've got your more cautious people who are like, listen, I'm going to be really, really cautious about what I'm doing.
You know, both of those things are skydiving. It's all the same thing.
And I would argue that both are good.
Yeah. You're just touching the trunk when the person's touching the leg of the elephant, you know?
I personally like to go for that median. you know, I don't want to be too cautious, and I don't want to be too much of a just send it kind of mentality. I like to be somewhere right in the middle where it's like, you know, I'm definitely up to do some different stuff and try for things, but I'm not going to just, you know, go big or go home at the same time for some certain stuff.
Yeah, once you start feeling comfortable, like, for me, having, like, full control, being able to sit, fly, stand, and, like, even go into a little bit of a tilt, that made me a lot more comfortable in the sky and made me a bit more confident into, like, yeah, let's do some shit. Let's do some crazy stuff.
Yeah, and just to kind of add on something to that, I mean, the main thing that got me over my plateaus was consistency. Just, you know, you got to keep jumping. You got to keep pushing yourself. You got to keep getting out there.
Yeah.
Doing those jumps, being consistent with it, you're going to get better. No matter how much of a low you think you're at, no matter how much of a plateau you think you're going through.
Definitely just stick with it. Consistency is you know, one of the biggest things I think we could all say is even if you're at a high, if you're at a low, the best thing you can do is just keep pushing forward. Try something different. You know what I mean? Switch it up a little bit so you're not, you know, in the same repetition of jumps and whatnot. But be consistent at the same time. Keep jumping. Keep trying different things. Keep progressing.
Yeah, all these constructs and ideas are just in your head.
They are, and like
I've said, it's all just subjective thought.
Well, like I've said on so many podcasts before, everything you do in life, especially for a sport like skydiving, it is 90% mental and 10% physical. I could say over and over till I'm blue in the face. It's all in your head.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we forget, you know, you think of things outside of yourself. So you're skydiving and you see the actual plane and you're falling out of the sky and you see the plane, but it's like, who's observing the plane? Where is the idea of the plane coming? That's all in your head.
Right.
Everything you experience is just in your head. It's all a part of you.
Right.
So, you know, you can really start to use that to your advantage.
You can. Yeah, you definitely can. And, you know, I think I would totally agree that that's the best way. You got to use your disadvantages to your advantage sometimes.
Yeah, you know, and that's the same thing with emotions. You know, I've done a lot of therapy, and one of the first things you do in therapy is you learn to, well, you do boundaries, you figure out your values and needs, but you learn to reapproach your emotions.
Yeah, you got to confront them in a way.
Yeah, well, you have to change your view of them. So, like, a lot of people, they're these overwhelming feelings that kind of scream. You have to change your view and see them as, like, friends. You know, they're just parts of you. Mm. They're just funny little voices in your head. And that's what you have to do with skydiving. Like, oh, I'm worried. You know, I get these compulsions to feel something. Like, oh, I should be nervous right now. And it's like, fuck that shit. Just sit down. It's not that big of a deal. Let's just jump.
Yeah.
And you got to control your mindset and be very in control of yourself.
And I think both of us would agree that if you keep that consistency, so say you're feeling like that and you get a few more jumps out of the way, you'll probably be over pretty quickly.
Yeah. You know, everything in your brain is just a signal. You know, you can train your brain to stop feeling that signal.
Mm-hmm.
You can hack your brain.
I think that's a good place to kind of tighten up the episode.
Let's do our shout out.
Yeah, we got a shout out, guys. So I'm going to do it today. There's an awesome skydiver. His name is Matt Fairland. He does a lot of different stuff, like wingsuiting. He also does some motocross stuff, but on Instagram, he is Sham to Glory. So that is SHAMTOGLORY. Sham to Glory. His name's Matt Fairland. He's got an awesome Instagram page with a bunch of skydiving content. He posts almost daily, and he's got helicopter jumps. He does a lot of wingsuiting, a lot of formation jumps and stuff. Just some really, really cool stuff. So go check out his page. And then, you know, come out and jump with us sometime. We'd be happy to jump with you guys always.
Absolutely. You can book online at the ChattanoogaSkydivingCompany.com. You can book for your first tandem, or hell, do your first jump course.
Yeah, do it. And then we'll, you know, you'll have your instructors, but we'll always be there to help you out as well along the way.
Absolutely, I'll pack for you.
And
I'll make sure to give you a good few line twists.
And as always, you know, share our page, share our Spotify with your friends, your family. Let other people know that we're out there, because we love you guys so much and appreciate y'all so much.
We're so thankful for everything you've done and
absolutely
given us a chance to really pursue this and pursue skydiving.
And we want to reach more people out there, too, that are potentially interested in the sport. So, you know, share us with your friends and your family. And as always, check out our Instagram page. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We've got Patreon.
Linktree.
Come check us out. Come jump with us sometime. We love y'all so much. So, thank you guys. We'll see y'all next time.
Yeah, and again, this is, we're here at Sticks and Tones Studios.
Skydive Liberation brought to you by the Splash Bros.
I'm Jacob Patty.
I'm Kyler Kianic.
We got Drew over there on the keys.
Farrell over there on video.
And that's going to be it, guys.
We'll see you guys next time.
Love you guys.